Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Al Davis versus the NFL. The day is finally here, Raider Nation. You get to watch it tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, ESPN's 30 for 30. Here we are back, Silver and Black Today. Hour number two, powered by our good friend Salmon Ash, the injury attorney, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Joining us now on the Newsmaker line is Ken Rogers, the director of Al Davis versus the NFL on ESPN's 30 for 30. As we mentioned, that's going to be on tonight. Ken is also a senior coordinating producer at NFL Films and the show head at Hard Knocks. Ken, thanks for being with us again. The big day's here, my man.
Oh, thank you. I am very excited for tonight. Very excited.
All right. Well, let's first talk about kind of the development of this project. How long had this project been sort of sitting in the minds of the folks, including you there at NFL Films, waiting to get done and waiting for the right time to get it rolling and filmed?
I'd say probably a good decade. Certainly after we did Al Davis's Football Life, which was really right after his passing, he was immediately given a Football Life episode upon his passing. Given his stature, how could he not be? We of course realized making that episode that there's so many more stories, so many more things we could tell about his life, and one of them was this battle with Pete Rozelle. But it felt like we needed some time to figure out when to do that. You know, what's the right time to do that? And around last summer, when we were doing Hard Knocks with the Raiders, I sort of felt like the time was coming, because I sensed a difference in the relationship between the Raiders and the league office. It felt like the animosity was lifting just a little bit between the two entities. And I think it has a lot to do with the leadership of Mark Davis and the fact that he and Roger Goodell and the rest of the owners finally solved the riddle that Al Davis and Pete Rozelle could never solve for 4 decades, really. In 1980, when the real passionate fighting starts that's covered in this film, Al Davis wants to get a world-class stadium. And that's what he and Pete Rozelle really start fighting about. And that didn't happen until now. And that didn't happen until Allegiant Stadium. And so 2020 felt to me like the end point of this story that this film covers.
Yeah, the closure on it is really well done. And we'll talk about some of the techniques you used a little bit later. But one of the things that struck me in watching the film, Ken, was, you know, this legacy and the really the brilliance, when you look at it from a football and a branding perspective with the Raiders, of Al Davis, it's often misconstrued in my mind, and many view him as sort of like this outlaw villain, right? I tend to use the word maverick, but they paint him as a villain. But in this story with Pete Rozelle, that's far from the truth, isn't it?
It is far from the truth. I think Al Davis, forget his personality, which was that of an outlaw and a rebel. His accomplishments are heroic. I mean, he's the man in white when it comes to accomplishments. He's the hero. Forget the ownership. If you go back before that and everything he did as a commissioner and a scout and a head coach would be enough to get him into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But it's really the strides he made off the field that we cover in this film. Just his branding alone of the Raiders and making his mark on the Raiders, he changed what sports teams were. He developed branding. And a lot of people give Jerry Jones credit, you know, in Dallas. But, you know, Jerry learned and came to Al Davis first, when he wanted to own a team and learned about how to create a brand. And Al Davis developed that. Al Davis developed a type of downfield passing and aggressive defense that we still see today in the 1970s after the 1960s saw the Packers sort of conservative offense and defense and running games under Vince Lombardi. He revolutionized the game, bringing that AFL style of play to the NFL. I mean, on the field, off the field, everywhere you look today, you can see Al Davis and Pete Rozelle. I would say there's no two people that have affected the modern NFL to be where it's at more than those two.
Ken Rogers is our guest tonight, director of the new ESPN 30 for 30, Al Davis versus the NFL. Ken, really great job on the film. I really enjoyed it. One of the aspects that I found fascinating was the technology that you used to incorporate both Al Davis and Pete Rozelle into the film. Could you talk to us a little bit about some of those techniques that were used to bring those characters to life?
Yeah, listen, I wanted to put I wanted to put my career on the line is what I said, jokingly. We made it very clear to the Raiders early on that we wanted this to be Al Davis's story and Pete Rozelle's story. That's it. We didn't want this to be the outsider's viewpoint. We didn't want sports writers or people who were witnesses to the story or tangential to the story to be giving their viewpoints on this story. That wasn't fair to Al. It wasn't fair to Pete to have outsiders tell a story. We had 85% of the film in our archives already of Al and Pete telling their own story. And so when it came to the framing device and bringing it to the modern day and having someone sort of present all of those archives of the past, we kept looking at each other and saying, we just want to hear from Al and Pete. We don't want to hear from anyone else. Sure, we want to hear from Mark Davis a little bit, and we want to hear from people like Brent Musburger and, you know, a little flavor from the current day, but really, it's Al and Pete's story. That's who we want to hear from. And in the, you know, 10 years ago, we might have cast actors and put wigs on them and said, go ahead and act like Al Davis. But with technology today, we were able to use deep fake technology, the sort of thing you see in Star Wars to bring Princess Leia back once Carrie Fisher had passed away, or to make Robert De Niro look younger in Irishman with Martin Scorsese's film. So we brought stand-ins into Allegiant Stadium late at night in late November, and we had men dressed as Al Davis and Pete Rozelle and had them walk around Allegiant Stadium telling their story as Al Davis and Pete Rozelle, and then digitally had the faces, the historical faces, based on footage that we had in our archives, placed on top of their faces, the stand-in's faces, digitally. Just like you would put a rubber mask on your face, we put digital masks on these men's faces. And in that way, we were able to give Al Davis and Pete Rozelle the ability to tell their own story visually. And then audio-wise, we had impressionists do the voices of both Al and Pete. And combine it all, and what you see in the film feels like Al Davis and Pete Rozelle's spirits coming back to tell their story.
Yeah, and Ken, I'll tell you, because we heard as they've seen some of the videos of your making, and of course you've seen some of the deep fake technology, a lot of Raider fans have been kind of nervous about, oh, this is going to be terrible. What if they have the wrong voice? I can tell everybody, since we've seen it already, that you guys did an amazing job with the casting of the voices. They do a great job, and you really do feel like you're listening to Al Davis and Pete Rozelle. Now, for those of us a little longer in the tooth, we remember some of these events that you catalog in this film. And I was struck by, again, by the fact that since I was younger and wasn't paying as close attention and we didn't have social media and all the digital stuff we have now, is this really was almost like a Shakespearean story. I mean, when you look at all of the things that happened around the trials, when you look at NFL owners having heart attacks right after they're on the stand, you have accusations of a fix on the jury, you have all this different stuff, and you watch this. That's one thing that's remarkable. But then secondarily, Ken, and I really want you to talk about this, the toll that it took on both these men, because everybody loves the fighting spirit here at Raider Nation. They love the fighting spirit of Al and what he meant and what he did. But it took its toll on him, which I think later in life you saw. And then the same with Pete Rozelle.
I think so. And I mean, you say Shakespearean. You know, I'd argue it's also like a modern day reality show. It's like, you know, these trials are like the real house owners of the NFL reality show, because it's insane what happened in the 1980s. And if it happened today, it would be the highest rated reality show on television. It was absolutely crazy. And it was enjoyable, I think, to both the fans watching it then and to people who love reading about that sort of history now, and certainly the Raider Nation backing out. But both men paid a high price. I think when it comes to Pete Rozelle, the price was definitely physical. He paid a deep physical price, smoking 3 packs a day, pacing up at night. And I think he lived a shorter life because of not just the lawsuits with the Raiders, but the 1980s were rough for the NFL. You had player strikes, the USFL lawsuits. There was a lot going on in the 1980s, and he took his job way seriously compared to most. And he definitely paid a toll for it. And you can see it in the film. I mean, you can physically see him wearing down. And for Al, the success that he had bringing the Raiders to where they were by the end of the 1983 season, you know, you're done 18 Super Bowls, and the Raiders had won 3 of them and had a better winning percentage than the Steelers, who had won 4 of them. I mean, the Raiders are the gold standard of the NFL, maybe of the entire sports world. And although they had plenty of good years after that, they also had a lot of down years after 1983. And you have to wonder if Al Davis was able to concentrate on football, what he loved, what he was best at, the game of football, putting together teams, putting together schemes, coaching staffs, rosters. If he was able to concentrate more on that and less on this never-ending quest to settle the stadium issues, to settle the business issues, to settle the lawsuits, what the Raiders could have been. And maybe they would have had more success on the field if this battle wasn't being fought, because he paid a lot of dues by spending his energy off the field. And again, you have to give a lot of credit to Mark Davis to sort of for ending this, for giving it a rest and saying, I'm not going to fight these battles the way my dad did. I'm not going to fight them with bitterness. I'm not going to fight them with acrimony all the time. I'm gonna get over that, and we're gonna move on, and we're gonna concentrate on the field issues and get this stadium business over with. And sure, he's done it. I mean, the stadium in this film looks incredible.
Yeah, it is. And having been in there a few times this season was amazing. And I'm sitting here at the Raiders headquarters today, and you can't but help think of what Al Davis would have thought of this facility as well. And I know, Ken, when you look at this film and when people watch it, I thought the use of the devices of having the actor stand in and doing the deep fakes on the face, I mean, it really gave me goosebumps, because you felt as though You communicated so well in the way you did the film of that sort of moving on, that peace, being at peace with that everybody's kind of finally got what they want. Pete Rozelle, you know, the league did take off and grow, and now it's this big corporate juggernaut. And Al Davis finally did, thanks to his son Mark Davis, get what he wanted, which was what he was focused on all along, was just a stadium, a state-of-the-art stadium, and a place to call home. Do you feel like finally that there's any chance in the history of pro sports that we will ever see characters like this again?
I don't think so. I think these days there's too much business involved. Hmm. You know, these were sportsmen. They weren't CEOs. Even Pete Rozelle was a sportsman at heart, and Al Davis was a sportsman more than an owner. These days, the business is way too big, and this sort of acrimony is bad for business, and business would probably come first. And there's also the fact that today, I think it would probably, this sort of war would be blown up by social media and become a much bigger deal than it did back then. Mm. And the fires would be stoked by social media and by fans on both sides of the aisle. What's crazy about this film and what I think is most touching at the end that you mentioned is, despite all these decades of going after one another, the climax of the film to me and the most powerful part is Al Davis describing the moment that Pete Rozelle retires. And when he describes it, it's extremely heartfelt. And he describes a physical embrace where they hug. And at one point, the word love is mentioned. And you can't believe that these two are talking about each other. But there's a lot of respect for each other. And you realize they've been fighting and opponents for years and years and years, but they never lost respect for each other. They never lost admiration for each other as people, even though on a business level they disagreed. And I think that would be hard to do today. I think it would quickly devolve into personal animosity instead of just professional disagreement.
Yeah, that's well said, because I think to me that was one of those lessons. You know, I look at what's been happening in the world of sports and in the general world, and how people don't often do that. It goes very personal very quickly, and respect is lost. And so one of the lessons from your film, I think, is that, which has such a wider implication than just in sports. And so I appreciate that. But Ken, I just got to tell you, man, it's a great film. People cannot miss this thing. You did a wonderful job. Your passion in storytelling and the desire to get it right is dead on, and I know everybody's going to enjoy it. So thanks for spending so much time with us today.
Oh, no problem. I'll tell you, it was a great pleasure to spend a year inside Raider Nation and inside the world of Al Davis. And I think with the new stadium and this solution now found, I hope that on-field success is soon to follow.
All right. That's Ken Rogers, director of Al Davis versus the NFL. You can watch it tonight. ESPN's 30 for 30 debuts at 9 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN. Ken, have a great week.
Thanks so much. You too.
All right, that's Ken Rogers. Wow, you guys are going to love this thing when you watch it tonight. If you're not excited already, hopefully that conversation with Ken, who's a wonderful filmmaker, will get you excited. Okay, we're going to step aside for a break. When we come back, Evan and I will take your calls. Want to hear your Al Davis moments.